If you have your Bible today, it's Psalms 128. Ran across this. I want to share it with you. You know, we've always liked to read Proverbs 31 around Mother's Day. Now, that's the virtuous woman. The virtuous woman, Proverbs 31, tells the value of a virtuous wife and mother. One woman, however, has taken those thoughts from this chapter, the virtuous woman, Proverbs 31, and applied them to her husband and the father of her children. And this is the way she wrote it. A virtuous man and husband. It says, who can find a virtuous man? For his worth is far above chocolate. The heart of his wife safely trusts him, for he will not mess around with bimbos. He does her good and not evil all the days of his life. He seeks motor oil and socket wrenches, and willingly works with his hands. He rises while it is yet night, and makes coffee for her household, and feedeth the cats. He considers a stock and buys it. From his profits he invests in a mutual fund. He girds himself with sensitivity and learns the art of listening. He perceives that his benefits are good, and his lamp does not go out by night unless, of course, his beloved desires his presence. He extends his hand to the poor. Yes, he reaches out his hand to the needy. He's not afraid of snow for his household is stocked with batteries, a kerosene heater, and kitty litter for the icy spots. We wouldn't know much about that in Florida, but that's a northern thing, you know. Anyway, he takes an interest in the laundry, and yea, can wield an iron and a can of spray starch and his socks match. He remembers birthdays and writeth his own cards and keeps with the Christmas shopping and wrapping. He watches not over muchly of sporting of events and does not eat the potato chips of idleness. His children rise up and call him daddy, especially when his wife is down with the flu. His wife also, and she praises him, saying, I can't believe you did all the dishes all by yourself. Charm is deceitful, and hunkiness is passing. I like that. But a man who fears the Lord, he shall be praised. Let his works praise him in the women's group. Amen? That's a woman that has a high regard of her husband and the father of her children. The Bible tells us also God has a high regard for godly men. We see this in Psalms 128. Let's read this passage. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. The wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children and peace upon Israel. Father, in the next few moments that we have together, help us to learn some things about a godly father that knows best for his family and for his children. Lord, we need that in our land today. We have so many fathers that have gone wayward, so many fathers that are not even home with their families. Lord, it's led to a crisis in our nation. I pray that, Father, in Jesus' name, as we talk over the next few moments, we will talk about the godly father that knows best for his family. And the godly father that leads his family on this Father's Day. I thank you for my godly father that raised me. Father, and also, Father, for the grandfathers that I've had. I thank you for the godly fathers in our church family who also are striving and trying to raise their children and their families after the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. I thank you for those that are here today that have brought them to church. We're not seeing that in our country much anymore. And I just pray you'll bless them today. So watch over us now in this message. If there be someone here that doesn't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, may they understand that there's a Father in heaven who loves them, who cares for them, and has sent His only Son to die on the cross for them. Bless now this time we have together. We give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, Amen. Used to be a show on years ago called Fathers Knows Best. Anybody remember that? If you do, you're my age or older. Okay, that's several of us. Fathers Knows Best. Matter of fact, you might even be able to see it on some channels even now, right? It's still on? Okay, still out there. Father Knows Best. It was one of those early TV shows that actually portrayed a father in a respectable leadership role in his family. Folks, how our culture has changed today. Amen? Fathers were looked up to, respected as the head of their household, as loving, nurturing men who led their homes. And nowadays, that has changed in media today. The father today is portrayed as a family abandoning, woman chasing, beer drinking, food obsessed slob in the markets today. Folks, we have one father, even out there, who has decided to become a mother and to change his sex. That's the demented world that we live in today. Amen? It's not, I've said this for many, many years. I believe that the prime time of America and American life was right around the time I was born, going back now, folks, about this is about 60 years ago, back in the 50s. Where it just seems like we were on a different playing field. Amen? In a different area. Fathers looked up to. People went to church. People acknowledged God. But we have digressed greatly in the past 60 years of American life. Today, we don't even know how to define the role of a father. Especially with this same-sex marriage debate going on today. There is no father. There are some families now are trying to be built where there's two fathers or two mothers. And folks, let me just say, we have fallen away drastically from what God intended us to be. In the early days of Genesis, godly fathers and husbands were the leader of their homes and respected as such. It was God's plan for His family. Those earthly fathers spoke and things happened back in those days. God told the story of men in His Word and their families so that we could see the powerful influence of that godly father in the home. You had people like fathers like Abraham, the father of the Jewish nation. You had Isaac. You had Jacob. You even had Noah, who started well as a good godly father. Didn't end up very well, let me just say that. But started very, very well. Matter of fact, Noah had the power to curse an entire generation, and the fathers back there did. They were looked up to, respected. They were the patriarchs of the world. And folks, today, the sad thing in our culture today is fathers have lost their influence, mostly because a lack of godliness in the home. Fathers decide they don't want to be fathers anymore. Fathers decide that the grass is greener on the other side. We hear about them leaving in droves, my friends. Adultery is rampant, which, by the way, let me just say, God hates. It's a special sin that God hates, adultery, basically because it is the violation of a marriage covenant. It's just like God hates adultery in His children. We can commit adultery against God. Did you know that? We are the bride of Christ, and if we worship any other gods besides our God, that is spiritual adultery, and God hates that because He links the bride of Christ, the church, with marriage. God despises that, the cheating on each other. It's rampant. And respect and trust is lost when the father is not the godly influence that he needs to be in the home. Folks, James Dobson writes this. Children need a godly father. He writes this and says, James Dobson cited a Cornell University study showing that fathers of preschool children on the average spend 37.7 seconds per day in real contact with their youngsters. In contrast, the study indicated that children watch TV approximately 54 hours a week, therefore having a much, much, much greater influence on even their own fathers. There was a survey that was done years ago that asked children the question, if you had to do without something in the home and one was your father or the other one was a TV set, which one would you choose? Most of them chose the TV set. Why is that? Because it had the greater influence in their life. Amen. Dr. George Rikers writes this, a positive and continuous relationship to one's father has been found to be associated with a good self-concept, higher self-esteem, higher self-confidence in personal and social interaction, higher moral maturity, reduced rates of unwed teen pregnancy, greater internal control, and higher career aspirations. In other words, fathers who are nurturing, affectionate, and actively involved in child rearing are more likely to have well-adjusted children. Folks, let me just say, as personal testimony, my family and then my father's family, that's a true statement. We need homes in the father. We need fathers in the homes. We need fathers who are in charge of their homes again. The problem we have in our nation today, the rampant violence that we're seeing is a lack of fatherly influence. And let me just say godly fatherly influence in the home. This psalm that we just read is a reflection of what a godly father should teach his home. With regards to the things of God and of this world, James Dobson also once said, God loves fathers. He is one. God loves fathers. He is one. And He has patterned fatherhood after Himself. He desires to bless our homes and make our homes happy, safe places. And dads, let me just say, that starts with you. It is your responsibility to make that home a safe, secure place. It's not so much your wife's job. She plays her role, believe you me. Most of them play it very, very well. A few exceptions, but most of them do very well. But it is the role of a father to create a safe haven for the house. God has placed that in His hand. I can think back on my own father. He used to say that all the time. He said, the success of a home, the safety of a home, the spiritualness of a home is a reflection of the Father. It's His job to make sure that happens. Now, let me just say this. In most of our churches today that we go into, if it wasn't for the ladies, we wouldn't have churches today almost. Because most of them are comprised of women. I will say we do have a pretty good balance in our church of men and women. But there are so many churches out there today that basically the dads stay home and they send the kids and the wife to church or whatever, and they are not a part of their lives, folks. Let me just say, God wants to bless our homes, but the responsibility, the spiritual priest of the home, is the father. That's something that has not changed. And I don't care what laws they pass in our nation, what the Supreme Court says this month, or whatever happens, God has placed a man and a woman as a family marriage in a home with children. Should God bless them with that and they choose to have children, and the father is to be the head of the home and the spiritual priest. And we've had so many fathers today that are falling so short of that, it's not even funny. I'm going to give you four things in this psalm today about father knows best. Oh, that we could go back maybe to that kind of culture and that kind of time when it was the father's knows best world. Different time. I believe it was a more peaceful time. I believe it was a better family time, to be quite honest with you. Families were together. They ate together. Amen? They fellowshiped together. It seems like today we've got such busy lifestyles that we've split the family up in the process. Striving to be good fathers and moms for our kids, sometimes we need to reevaluate, what are we doing in life? Do you know that still the greatest asset that most children say that they have, or the greatest joy they have, is the time that they are able to spend with their mom and their dad, their parents? You think they might want to spend all that time at SeaWorld or Disney World or whatever, but they want to spend their time with their parents. They need that, they crave that influence in their life. Let me give you four things from this psalm about a father that knows best that will bring the blessings of God to the family. First of all, the father that knows best will teach his family on how to walk with the Lord. Look at verse 1. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord and walketh in His ways. Blessed is everyone that fears the Lord, a reverence, a respect of God, and walks in the Lord, walks with God in light of that reverence. Folks, fathers need to teach their families and husbands on how to walk with the Lord. And the father does that primarily. You know how? By example. By example. It's more than just the things that he says. It's the things that he does. I heard a pastor once say that what you do speaks so loudly, can't hear what you're saying. Amen? I like that. Because actions do speak louder than words. And you can be a dad who can fuss and fume and get mad and spew all these laws and rules and theology and whatever. But if you're not living that in your own life, you will fall short and your family will see it in your life. A lot of children rebel against their families because of that. And I've even talked with some of them in counseling. This is a father that takes his family to church and does not send them to church. I thank God for you fathers who come today and bring your kids and your family to church. God bless you. You lead by example. You don't send them to church. You bring them to church. This is the father that prays with his family daily, spends time at the family altar. I know it's a busy world. But dads, let me just say that being a father is more than just bringing home the bacon. It's more than just paying the bills. We have a lot of fathers who don't do that even today. But there's more to being a father than just that. It's teaching your children how to be godly children and set that by example. It's the father that prays with his family and teaches his children how to pray. I can remember the times with my own father that we would sit down and have a family altar. And he would pray with us and teach us to pray. And I had a godly mother who did that too. Matter of fact, I think the first time I learned to pray, it was with Mom. Mom sat me down and sat my brother down. Both of us were real. This is some of the most further back memories I have in my mind. I can remember she would set us down by her lap. She'd make us get down on our knees and folded our hands. She taught us how to fold our hands. Not that you have to fold your hands, but it is an act of reverence. And we folded our hands and she taught us how to pray. She taught us how to pray. I can remember sitting under my dad's preaching and learning how to preach and saying, you know, someday I want to be like that. Someday I want to be able to speak to people like that and to do those things. See, dads lead by example. And if you think a kid doesn't follow what their daddy does, one of the most awesome responsibilities that we have as a father is knowing that our kids are mimicking what we do. Amen? Matter of fact, some of you see some of the things that you do in your children. I notice that even my own son, Joey, as big as he is now in his 30s, I see him, the way he raises his kids, I see a lot of me in him. Even the bad things, you know, the things that I would do that now looking back on it, being a little bit wiser now, wouldn't have done. You know, I think actually grandfathers probably would do a better job of raising kids, but we just don't have the energy level that we used to, amen? So those kind of things happen. The kids copy what we do. They copy what we say. And I've heard a pastor say also before that what you do in moderation, your children will do in excess, no matter what it is. Because they see what you do, for dads. You have to lead by example. You need to teach them how to walk with the Lord. Dinner around our house, at our house, when I was raising my kids, was not an option. I don't care what they were doing. If they were doing their homework, they were going to stop for a few moments. If they were out playing with their neighbors, and my son was a socialite. He was all over the neighborhood. That's just the way he was. He was a people person, so he's always out. And we always told him, when we come out, we call. You better come the first call. You better be responding to that first call. And normally he did, and so dinner was no option. When dinner was ready, we all sat down together because that's the way I was raised. Dinner was not an option. It was a special time that the family got together and we could talk together. Now, today, some families are so scattered in so many different directions, it's hard. I understand we live in a busy world, but let me just say this. Sometimes this busy world we gripe about, we create for ourselves. Amen? And the most valuable time you'll ever spend with your family. So sometimes is around the dinner table or lunch table. We would talk, we'd have some heavy discussions, believe it or not, around that dinner table. And my kids looked forward to a family altar even more than I did. Me, I had to take the time to do it and sit down with it. But they said, Dad, are we going to read the Bible tonight? They used to enjoy that. I had this big picture Bible, and we would show down. I'd show them pictures, and my son would make some of the funniest comments. And Angie was pretty quiet sometimes, but Joey, I tell you, one time I showed him one thing, and had one of this man with his turban on. I think I might have shared this with you before. The turban on his head. This Middle Eastern man with a turban. You know, I guess called a turban. Thing, a wrap on the head. And so I show him a picture of that. He looks at that. Looks at it again and says, Dad, his brains are falling out. Yeah, always had something to say, you know, like that. But they enjoyed the time with Dad and Mom in the family altar. Dads, there's no way you'll be able to do this, lead your family to walk with the Lord, if you or yourself are not walking with the Lord. Your influence is valuable. Matter of fact, it's invaluable. Your children seeing you pray, your children seeing you serving the Lord, will reap spiritual dividends in the end. Let me just say as a side note to this, my dad used to make church fun. My dad used to make church enjoyable for us. I probably did everything there was to do in a church. Took up the offering, was a deacon, everything you can think of before I was 24 years old. And he made it enjoyable. It was not a chore. We looked forward to actually going to church. And the reason why so many kids today don't enjoy church is because they make it such a spiritual struggle to go to church. Folks, let me tell you, when your children come to this church, I want them to enjoy it while they're here. You come to a church because you want to be blessed, amen? You need to want your children to be blessed when they come to church. That's never going to happen if on the way home you're tearing down the preacher and you're tearing down the deacons and you're tearing down so-and-so. Listen, whatever gripes you may have with the church, keep them to yourself. Don't express them to your children. I can tell you children today that you couldn't pay to come to church. Because on the way home, Mom and Daddy had roasted preacher and stewed deacon. And you couldn't pay them to come to church today. I don't want that. Folks, we need to teach them to walk with the Lord. Amen? And I'm not saying preachers are perfect and deacons, probably they deserved it. Maybe they did. But the bottom line is, there's a way to handle that. And we lead by example. And they need to understand that the one you ultimately follow in life is God and our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to teach our families to walk in the Lord. Number two, the father that knows best will teach his family a strong work ethic. I like this one. For thou shalt eat, verse number two, the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about the table. The godly father will not teach his children on how to get and live on food stamps. You hear that? The godly father will not teach his children how to subvert the government and live on welfare. Or draw some kind of pension they don't deserve or income from the government. The Bible teaches, by the sweat of your brow will you eat your food every single day. That was given to the man. And if there's one thing that we lack in this country today, is a work ethic. You go out there today and you try to get service at a place and it's like, good night. And I see some of these employees walking around. I'm sitting there thinking about the time that I was a lot younger and working out there in the field when I was in my teens and early 20s, my first job I had when I was 16 years old, when I was old enough to work, and I haven't stopped yet. And I can remember some of the bosses I had, and the way I see some of these people coming to work or not coming to work, thinking of the boss I had. I mean, I had a boss named Fred Rogers. You might have heard me mention his name before. He was a Jew. God loved the Jew. But he was an unsaved heathen Jew who needed Jesus bad. And this man, he smoked and drank and whatever, but I'm going to tell you what, when we came to work, when we started coming to work, and it was in a shoe business, in a shoe store, you wore a white shirt and a tie. We preachers, we saw a lot of us preachers be in trouble nowadays, so they didn't wear a tie. But you wore a white shirt and a tie, and you waited on the customer, and you got down on your right knee. Matter of fact, after I think about 7 years of doing this, I had a curvature of the spine because I always had to drop on my right leg because we fit shoes back in those days on people. Buddy, when he walked in that store, you better not be sitting down in a chair. You better be busy doing something. My boss taught a greater work ethic than some of our daddies do today. I always look back on that man, and even though unless he got saved, he had a godly wife. That was an amazing thing. But unless he ever got saved in his life, that man split hell wide open when he died. But here's the thing about him. He taught a work ethic. I learned a lot from him, a lot that I even carry today from him, and my own father. My father worked three jobs raising his family. He was a public school teacher for Hillsborough County School System, taught middle school, by the way, of all the grades to teach, was a pastor, and that's what he considered his number one role, by the way, was a pastor, even though he was bivocational part-time. And then my grandparents owned a store, R&A Sundry Store. Remember, they used to call them Sundry Stores. Now they call them 7-Eleven, K, whatever, Circle K. And it was a store like that, and he actually helped stock that and work that business. Had three jobs. You say, well, did you ever see your dad? Well, yeah, actually I did, because you know what? Dad would take me to the store. All of us kids. I was ringing a cash register in the store when I was 11 years old. Checking out customers at 11 years old, 10 years old. So was my brother and my sisters. We stocked shelves. So I worked with him. When we did church work, we went visiting. I've been visiting people as a pastoral visiting since I was this high. So today it's no big deal for me to do that today. I used to love to go visiting with my dad. Because all the members gave me cookies and cokes. How do you think I got this? Started off well. I loved kids. The godly father teaches a strong work ethic. Starts with dad because they see a strong work ethic in their father. God promises to bless a family in four ways when the father leads his home in this area. First of all, with provisions. Look in verse number 2. Thou shalt eat, it says there. That's your daily bread. Thou shalt eat. Now, God didn't promise you everything you ever asked for in life, but He did promise to meet your needs. And as I look across this place this morning and in my own life, we eat pretty good. Amen? All of us do. Even the poorest of our country has access to food if they really want it. Number 2, with prosperity. Ye shall be happy and it will be well. In verse number 2 it says those two terms. Ye will be happy and it will be well with you. That's prosperity. And prosperity is more than things. Prosperity is what you have in your soul. Happiness and joy that comes from the Lord. It'll be well with you. In verse number 2. Happy shall thou be and it shall be well with you. Number 3, a reproducing partner. A fruit-bearing wife. Look in verse 3. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, and thy children like olive plants round about the table. A fruit-bearing wife. Physically and spiritually, a godly woman will love and respect a godly man. I can't tell you how many women out there I've counseled with and talked with that would just wish that their husband would love the Lord. Serve the Lord. They would be more than willing to submit to His authority in the home as God has placed it if He would Himself prove to be respectable. And then the last thing is with flourishing children. Children mimic their parents and especially their dads. And I learned that strong work ethic from my father. He worked three jobs. He's a hardworking man. Matter of fact, I believe he worked himself to death. He died at 60 years old. Matter of fact, I turned 60 in September. Don't think that's not on my mind. Oh my. The father that knows best, number three, teaches his children the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. That's godly reverence. That goes beyond the walk. That's part of the walk, but that's part of it. Verse 1 talks about that. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, but also look in verse number 4. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. That is a reverential respect of a sovereign, holy God. Folks, let me tell you this, dads. The first picture that a child will ever see of who God is what they see in their father. And God has designed it that way. To me, when I was a child, and to my family, when we were children, my father was God to us. Because we didn't know any better. You didn't know who God was before you reach that age of consent. And that age of knowledge where you know who God is and you understand the plan of salvation and those kind of things about God. To us, Dad was God because Dad lived the part. He was a preacher. My father got up here and he was larger than life. I understand everybody didn't have that, but I was raised that way. So he was God. Until we reached the age where Dad was able to transfer that knowledge of God to God, the Father, that's who he was to us. I believe God designed it that way. You know what? You know the reason we have such a disrespect for authority, for police officers, public servants today? Because Dad's not teaching a godly respect of God. If you don't learn how to fear God and to reverence the respect and sovereignty of God, you will not respect any other authority in the world today. I believe that. You got little kids, 8, 9, 10 years old, smarting off to a cop. If I ever did that, whoo. Or their teachers in school. You ever heard the saying, if you get in trouble at school, you get in trouble when you get at home? I was raised that way. It's not that the teacher was never wrong, but the teacher was the authority. And we understood that. And of course, my dad being a public school teacher helped that out a lot. Believe you me. Fathers, you need to teach your children the fear of the Lord. They'll keep that with them the rest of their life. Let me give you one more. The father that knows best will teach their children to be good citizens and thereby strengthening our nation. We need a respect for the nation before, amen? We need a respect for our country that we're not getting today. Look in verse number 5. And I understand a lot of politicians are very lacking of respect, but that's not everybody. I've always said, I may not agree with the president and his policies and what he's doing, the way he's leading our country, but I always respect his position. And the Bible commands me to pray for him. We need to teach our children that. Look at verse 5. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Talking to dads here. I'm going to bless Jerusalem, which was their nation back then, all the days of thy life. And verse number 6 says, yea, thou shalt see thy children's children and peace on Israel. In other words, you're going to see your grandchildren and you're going to see peace in Jerusalem. If you become the fathers that I want you to be, if you fear the Lord, walk with the Lord, these things that we just talked about, create a work ethic in your children. You do all those things. Folks, you want to see greatness in America today? You know where it's going to start with? It's going to start with the fathers of our nation. You can blame a lot of things. You say, we need to vote in a different political party. No, we don't. We need a conversion and a revival in the home. Because as the home goes, so goes the church and so goes the nation. You know why churches are declining today? It's fatherhood is declining today. We can gripe about a bunch of, well, we're not doing this in our church. We're not reaching them. Let me tell you what. We're not reaching daddies, and daddies aren't reaching their children in their homes. That's the problem. The chances of the whole family coming to church when the father comes to church is about 80 to 85%. The chances of the children staying in church and coming to church is only 42 to 43% when it's just a single mother. Raising children. Now, I understand, and I thank God for all the single mothers who bring their children to church. Praise God. But when daddy comes to church, and daddy's involved, and he's walking with the Lord, it changes the whole family. And God set it up that way. father really does know best. A godly father does know best in the life of his children. 63% of youth suicides are from fatherless homes. 63%. 90% of all homeless and runaway children are from fatherless homes. 32 times the national average. 90%. 85% of children who show behavior disorders come from fatherless homes. Folks, that's 85%. 80% of rapists. 80% of rapists with anger problems come from fatherless homes. Again, 14 times national. Now, let me just say this, folks. This is not from Christian organizations that's doing this research. This one here is Justice and Behavior in American Life, Center for Disease Control, things like that, U.S. Department of Health, Census. That's who's running these numbers. Even society is recognizing the impact of fatherless homes. 71% of all high school dropouts come from fatherless homes. That's 9 times the average. And that's from the National Principals Association report. Dads matter. Fathers matter. I don't care what they do in media. I don't care how they slam fatherhood in this world that we live in today. The bottom line is we need godly fathers, and we need fathers that know best in our families today. Paul Harvey wrote this, and I'll close with this. What are fathers made of? The great Paul Harvey and late Paul Harvey. A father is a thing that is forced to endure childbirth without an anesthetic. A father is a thing that growls when he feels good, laughs very loud when he's scared half to death. A father never feels entirely worthy of the worship in a child's eyes. He's never quite the hero his daughter thinks. Never quite the man his son believes him to be. And this worries him sometimes. So he works too hard to try to smooth the rough places in the road for those of his own who will follow him. A father is a thing that gets very angry when the first school grades aren't as good as he thinks they should be. He scolds his son, though he knows it's all the teacher's fault. Fathers are what gives daughters away to men who aren't nearly good enough so they can have grandchildren who are smarter than anybody else's. I love that. Fathers make bets with insurance companies on who will live the longest. Though they know the odds, they keep right on betting, and one day they lose. Paul Harvey says, I don't know where fathers go when they die, but I've an idea after a good rest, wherever it is, he won't be happy unless there's work to do. He won't just sit on a cloud and wait for the girl he's loved and the children she's bore. He'll be busy there. Repairing the stairs, oiling the gates, improving the streets, smoothing the way. I like that. You're not saved here today, Dad. Let me introduce you to a Heavenly Father who loves you more than life and sent His Son to die for you. Not just to fathers, but to mothers and to children today and anybody in the sound of my voice. If you have not received Christ as Lord and Savior, you need to understand there's a Jesus who died on the cross for you. If you put your faith and trust in Him, He can change you today. Say, Pastor, I've had it rough in my life. I've never had a father coming up, or I've had a bad father. Let me tell you what, friends. You can break that cycle in your life. You don't have to be the bad father or the no father that you didn't have to your children and your family. You can break that cycle. We have so many children that repeat the mistakes of their fathers. And I'm telling you today, you have a Heavenly Father who's lived an ultimate example on this earth, Jesus Christ, when He came to this earth for you and I to follow. If you are saved, are you walking with the Lord today in prayer, Bible study, church service? You're doing those things that God wants us to do. We need to be setting those examples for our children. I love what the Word of God says. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thy house, and thy children like olive plants round about the table. That's what God desires for all homes. He does. Not a perfect home, but a home that walks with God and a home that fears God. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you believe in the fact that He died on the cross, rose from the dead, like the Bible teaches, and you believe everything you need to believe to become a child of God, the Holy Spirit today is tugging at your heart, moving in your life to receive Christ as Lord and Savior. We're going to invite you to come in just a moment. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. If you believe, as we just mentioned, folks, that today you can have everlasting life. You can pray and ask Him to save you today. I believe the Holy Spirit's already done the hard work in your life. He's convicted you of your sin, made you aware of Christ. You just need to pray and receive Him today. That's the response, the human response to the gospel gift of Christ. Maybe that's you today, and you'd pray a prayer like this. Dear Heavenly Father, please save me today. Please make me one of your children. If you do, I'll praise you forever, and I'll serve you. Father, forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me. I turn from my sins, and I turn to you. Of course, in Jesus' name I pray. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you prayed that prayer, in just a moment after we pray, we're going to stand. And the hymn of invitation will be played. We invite you to come. I'd love to pray with you. Maybe you're here today and you're struggling in other areas of your Christian life. Whatever that may be. You just need to come to an old-fashioned altar and lay a few things on the altar. Let's all stand together as we go to God in prayer. Father, bless now this invitation as it's played. This is decision time, Lord. If there's anything, Father, you can pray for people that may you lead them forward to do that. But especially if they've prayed and they've asked you in their heart or they have questions about their salvation, may they not leave today until they've made their peace with you by receiving Christ today. Bless now this time we have together. We give you praise, honor, and glory. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If God has spoken to your heart, maybe you want to come to an old-fashioned altar and pray or have us pray with you. Church membership. Feel like this is the place you need to become a member? Would like to serve? We'd love to have you. Baptism? You've never been scripturally baptized? Whatever your need is today, just to come to an old-fashioned altar and pray. Pray for your family. You come right now as God leads in your life.